Amen. Ain't God good? Thank God for the praise and worship team. Beautiful music. That last song, honestly, they were singing my message. And so that's how you know we're on the same page. We do belong to God, right? And how many know that healing belongs to you? When we pray for you in here, or we pray for ourselves, we're not of the mindset that we're asking God for something that doesn't belong to us. We know what His Word says. His Word is His will, and healing belongs to us as well as deliverance. And so we stand in that kind of confidence. That's called faith. We believe the promises of God. Everything God did for us was by His grace and His mercy, right? Everything. Sending Jesus, how we respond to that, what He's done for us, it's called faith. Amen? Standing on the promises of God. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're only moved by what the Word says. And in order to come to that place in your life, you got to put the Word first priority in your life. You got to say, God, I'm gonna meditate on Your Word day and night. So, I like to watch Price is Right on evenings. I don't know, maybe. Hopefully. Nothing wrong with Price is Right. Well, you can record it, but we have to honor God and put His Word first place in our life. You know, God has elevated His Word over His own name. He said His Word will not fail you. Amen? And so we build that lifestyle. We grow in that kind of mindset. And as we do, we keep bombarding our spirit with these seeds of faith. The Word of God is seeds of faith. And it keeps getting into our spirit, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. And before you know it, you got a mountain-moving faith in you. Amen? And you will not be afraid. You'll not be a worrisome person. You'll know what the Word says. You'll look at things in a spiritual way instead of always in a natural way. That's what's called growing up spiritually. Amen? And so, if you want to follow along, look at Luke chapter 13, verse 10. We're going to be talking about how healing belongs to you. And as you're going there, let me just pray while you're going there. Father, I thank You for Your blessing over this service. I thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that will rise up in each of our hearts, Lord God. For, Lord, we know that the world speaks to our mind. It speaks from the outside in. You speak from the inside out. So, Lord, I thank You for the hidden man of the heart in each and every one of us that's growing in faith and picking up what the Word says. In Jesus' name, amen. And so in this first chapter, in Luke chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 10. This is where Jesus heals the woman who was bent over for 18 years. Anybody ever see someone who was like bent over and they couldn't get up? She was in that kind of condition. Now, remember, when Jesus ministered, He primarily ministered to the Jews first, right? And He spoke to them under their covenant most of the time. And so they're still under the old covenant, but Jesus, he fulfilled the law, right? He's the Lord. And so he's like the transition between the old and the new, but he is the healer. He is the deliverer. He has been and will always be. But He's referring back to how this woman has a right to be healed. Amen? Look at Luke 13:10. Now He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And He laid His hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And He said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." Give me a break. I just had to say that. Okay, verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it?" Verse 16, this is the main verse. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, ought not she be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. What a wonderful story. Amen? And he says, ought not this woman, a daughter of who? Abraham. Why would he say that? He's letting it be known that she's under the Abrahamic covenant that God established with Abraham. Healing belongs to her. We know that in the beginning, when God appeared to Abram, he said, I'll make a covenant with you, walk before me, be continually and be perfect. And we're going to read that, or be perfect in your heart. He wasn't saying be perfect and never make a mistake. If you could do that, why would you ever need Jesus? Right? He's saying, I just want you to put me before all others. And Abraham did that. When Abraham got into the promised land, what's the first thing he did? He made a sacrifice and an altar to his God in the Canaan land. A land that God gave him. In the middle of a land with all these foreign gods, you can see the smoke rising up in the air from Abraham saying, Yahweh, Jehovah, he's my God. Amen? And God did great things with him. How many know that Abraham was very, very rich? Sometimes I think a poverty mindset has gotten into the churches these days. God doesn't mind you having things. He doesn't want things to have you. Surely he wants you to have enough money in the bank that if your kids want to go to college, you can write off the check. Amen? Do you want that for your own children? Do you want your children to struggle and barely get by? No, well, you're not better than God. God's thing is that he doesn't want these things to have you. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money. Amen. But that mindset has creeped in there. But Abraham, because he honored God, because he had a covenant with God, God blessed him exceedingly. And so healing belonged to her. That's why Jesus had no problem. Was he saying that? Ought not this woman, daughter of Abraham, be healed? 18 years. And the ruler of the synagogue's like, no, it's the Sabbath. Don't be like that. And Jesus is saying, look, it belongs to her. He didn't even ask her about it. He just said, you're loose this day from your infirmity, right? And so the Abraham covenant, of course, started with Abram. And then God changed his name to Abraham. And Abraham is the father of the Jews. We know it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jacob had 12 sons. And their families got so big, they called them tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? They all come from Abraham. That's the beginning of the Jews. And so Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah, which is very prophetic, same tribe as David, because the scripture says he would come from that tribe. And so this woman is in that lineage of covenant people. The only time that Israel suffered, you know when they suffered? When they went outside of the covenant and they disobeyed God and they were following the world over God. God did not bring the diseases and sickness on them. They brought it on themselves. I know the Bible uses words like that brings or causes, brings and things like that. But in the actual Greek, it means God has to allow what you allow. Amen? There was an umbrella of protection. And so by virtue of God having to back off of them, then these things came on them. But it was never God's will. Ever God's will for them to suffer like they did. But God's always 1,000 steps ahead, and he always has a way to get us out of the mess that we get into. So look at Genesis 17:1. We'll go back to the day that the Lord is reaffirming this covenant with Abram. Now this journey from when God first came to Abram and God said that you're going to have a son, that whole journey took 25 years. 25 years for that to happen. But when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, it happened in a year. 1 year. And so God calls things, the Bible says, Abraham believes in a God that calls things that are not as though they were. God speaks faith. God says, I want you to see yourself as I see you. Not as the circumstances, not as life dictates. And you know what? When Abram started doing that, The Bible says he grew stronger in faith. He didn't consider his body now 99 years of age, and Sarah is 90 and never could have children. He didn't consider that. It didn't say that he denied that they were older and never could have children. Does it say that? He says he didn't consider that to be too hard for the one who promised. That's the where we need to be. Amen. You got obstacles in your way. You got things trying to come against you in your way. You got to know what the promises say. You got to know about your covenant, because now we're in a new covenant, and I'll show you that. And you got to stand on the promises of God and have that mindset that all these things belong to me because I belong to God. Amen. And in a covenant, what belongs to God belongs to us. And what belongs to us belongs to God. It's a mutual agreement, right? And so that's where confidence comes from. But look at Genesis 17:1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me continually and be blameless, or be perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. He's 99 years old. Sarah's approaching 90, never had children. Did that scare God off? As for me, the way I see you, you're the father of many nations. You're going to get your promised son, and his name's going to be called Isaac. Amen. And so, look at verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram. Abram means high father, H-I-G-H, high father. But your name shall be Abraham. Abraham means father of the multitudes, father of many nations. Did he have it yet? God said he did, right? Look at this. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come before you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, here we go now, and your descendants. That's why that woman was the daughter of Abraham. That covenant applied to her too. Amen. And after you, in their generations, from an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That's a good covenant, right? That's a good promise. You want to know who the land belongs to over there in the land of Israel? Belongs to Israel. The Bible clearly says it. You dig up they dig up these archaeological finds, and they find people mentioned in the Bible. And so it belongs to Israel. Amen. And so in the Amplified Bible, verse 17:1, it says, God says this. He says, I am God Almighty. Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence, and be blameless and complete and in complete obedience to me. And like I said, he wasn't saying that you're going to be a perfect people, right? He was saying, I need your heart. I need your heart to trust me. I need you to love and to know me. And I'm going to show you this. All God's ever wanted for you to do is not even to love him first. He wants you to know him. How can you love someone you don't know? Religion is rules without a relationship, and it equals rebellion all day long. I don't want no part of religion. Because religious people are like that guy that said, it's the Sabbath. She shouldn't be healed. You want to have that kind of a heart? A woman bent over for 18 years and he couldn't be happy for her? He had to make up some kind of religious jargon and just sound official? No, he was a hypocrite. And Jesus called him out for it, right? And so walk before him sincerely. Now, when you are born again, you are a child of God under this new covenant. You have the promise of the Holy Spirit. You tap into the new covenant through Jesus Christ. Amen? That comes from the seed of Abraham. That's how you get connected in there. And you are different than the Old Testament because they weren't born again in the Spirit. They had their sins covered by the blood of lambs and bulls and goats. It was a temporary process until the real Lamb came. He came. He's already been here. He's already done it. He's already for 2,000 years been at the right hand of the Father, bringing many sons and daughters to the glory of God. That's who you are. And so as a born-again believer, God changes your nature. He doesn't deal with you according to your sins, your so-called sins and iniquities and failures. Don't fall into that trap because that's how the devil will keep you in bondage. Keeps many people in bondage. He puts the emphasis on what they're going through in life and what they're not doing right over knowing God. And so you have to be truly free from sin. Freedom in Christ. That's what we are. We're free from sin. We're not free to sin. We're free from sins or inabilities and our insufficiencies to ever be able to separate us from God because we got Jesus. Amen? And so if you got some poor soul out there that's struggling with the world, is struggling with the things of the world, and especially people just come out of the world, they got all this stuff in their flesh, and their flesh likes to do things and even rejoices in it. But if they could know that God loves them and God wants them to know Him as they know God, the love of God will grow in them, and so will the power to get that stuff out of their lives. If you're a believer and you're making wrong choices, you're not. I'll never, ever tell you you're losing your salvation. Because your salvation is a gift that comes from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But you know what you're missing out on? Something far, far greater and devastating than we could ever imagine. I have to put it out to you this way. Every day that you don't give God your best and follow Him and trust in Him, it's a day that's wasted, and it's a day you can never get back. Because we only get so many days here to glorify our God. And I don't want to bow my knee any of those days to the devil or the things of the flesh or the things of the world, because the Bible says whoever you serve is your master. I don't want the devil to be my master. I want to bear fruit for God. And he's a thief. Satan is a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. And so let that pump you up enough to know God wants to know me. I'll press into God. I'll press into the things of God. And as I do, all these chains will come off of me. Preaching myself happy. Sometimes you start out wanting to teach, but you end up with the preach on. That's very important to me. Because sometimes well-meaning ministers, they'll say, well, you do this, you do this, I question you, and things like that. Well, don't do that. Who wants to be a sin police? Stand up right now. No, don't. Please don't. Somebody might. Who wants to say, I'll dictate which sins are worse than others? You know who sin against God more than anyone else, mostly? Mature Christians. I said it. Because sometimes they get over into their own self-righteousness. And sometimes they get over into judgmental. Can't stand it. I hate to say that, but I'm just telling you the truth. I can't stand it. I can't say I can't stand them. I can't stand that. God did not mean for our salvation to be about sin count and what you do. What about the sins of omission? Sometimes people's things that they got going on in their life, they're easy to pick on. They're easy to see. But what about the people that don't have any love in their heart? And that's our commandment, to love one another. But I understand why people do it sometimes, because they don't trust the Holy Spirit. I trust, and my Father before me, the founder of this church, has trusted that the Holy Spirit will do the job in you. All I got to do is keep you on the right track, keep bumping you in. And when you have the urge to run from God because you'll never be good enough, and you can never do this, or you can never be like this or that, I got to bump you back in, but I can't bump you back in unless you come, right? And let me speak to you. At the Corinths, remember the first and second Corinthians? You know what that's about? God started a church, or Paul started a church in Corinth. You know why he started it there? Paul brought the word there, and these people said, I believe Jesus is Lord. He is God, right? So what do you do when people believe when there's no churches? You start a church. But those people came out of some horrendous things. I think the part of the world today is trying to rival them in those types of things. But Paul established that church, established leaderships in there, but then they weren't growing spiritually how they needed to grow. And so he comes back some 2-3 years later, and he says, oh my goodness. Remember, this is the group that got drunk at communion. This is the group that says, hey, sex is for the body, so all kinds of sex goes. And Paul had to restructure their thinking, say, no, your body belongs to God. You were bought with a price, so you glorify him. But not once did he say they weren't saved. He said, you're all carnal. A carnal Christian is a Christian that's driven more by the natural and the mind and the things of the world just because they haven't developed their spirit. He did not say they weren't saved. Didn't say it. And his ministry was to the church. Nobody wants you to get your stuff in order the way you want to in your deepest hearts. Nobody wants you to do that more than me. So that's why I tell you how to get there. I'll tell you how I got there. I'll tell you how our founding pastor got there by being able to go into the presence of God and say, God, I belong to you. I belong to you. I'm a new creation. That's how you get there. But don't chase the things. Don't chase the gifts. Chase the gift giver. He wants you to know him. One of the most easiest ways to get off track or to get in some kind of bondage or against somebody else is when you don't really know them. There's been a lot of times people in the church, they don't really know my heart. Maybe that's my fault. And sometimes they think the wrong things. And never in a million years ever be in my heart for any of that. But you know what? They never took the time to get to know me or to ask me. That's why I like Saturday morning services, because when those people come, they know me. They know my heart. Amen? And sometimes as a pastor, you got to say no. And sometimes as the pastor, you guys say, yeah, we're going this way. Sometimes as the pastor, you guys say, yeah, great idea, but maybe the wrong timing. God, you got to trust the Holy Spirit. Amen? But ultimately, it would ultimately be my fault as a pastor if people don't see my heart, because it's my job to show them. Look at Hebrews 8, verse 6. This is the Amplified. So all God was telling Abram, I want you to walk before me habitually. I want you to walk before me continually. I don't want no guys before me. What would happen if Abraham would have just got into the land of Canaan and said, well, I'm going over here to this hillside here where these people are, and I'm going to party with them. And I'm going to let them fill my mind with all their deception and all their false gods. And I'm going to let them do this. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you separated from the world. But you got to know him to do that. Or else you're just a religious person. Sometimes when my kids were younger, especially when we went to Oklahoma, we stayed at a place called Quail Hollow for school for Rhema. It's just a little apartment. I remember when I looked that up online, that's back when I just got a computer, so I was getting pretty slick. And I just, you know, and oh man, I found out something. They pay people a lot of money to make places look a lot better than they are. Because that place, whew, they had this nice big playground area for the kids. Mind you, now I had 4 kids. Pastor Dave might have been, he's the oldest, but he might have been in 6th grade, I think 7th grade. Then you go down to elementary. I had to protect them, right? And we're driving in there, and I see the playground area is supposed to be this nice, elaborate playground area. It was a dump. It was a place where people, literally, it was a place where people walked their dogs to go to the bathroom. So it was a dump. It was bad. And then there's this big barrier fence that's supposed to protect the apartment units from the other side over there, whatever's over there. And it has a big hole in it. You can tell people are just walking through. And I'm thinking, well, when the kids are out there, it could be a creeper. Jump out and try to snatch one of them. And so, honestly, I'm driving in there, and I'm thinking about my dad because he went with us. And I'm thinking, I think I'm in trouble. Because he wants me to take care of his grandkids. And I don't know about this place. But it was okay in the long run. But... But you have to trust God, and you have to put Him first in your life if you're going to go anywhere. Amen? So look at Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6. Talking about the covenant. And He said, I want you to walk before me. I want you to be blameless before me. I want you to walk in my ways. Look at Hebrews 8:6, Amplified. But as it is, Christ has acquired a priestly ministry which is more excellent than the old Levitical priestly ministry. See, under the Old Testament, it was under the Levitical priesthood. Who was the first high priest for Israel? It was Aaron, right? He came from the tribe of the Levites. And so, but Jesus has a different priestly ministry. He's under the high priest, the eternal high priest order of Melchizedek. That God established when Abram went into the Valley of Shaveh and Abram returned tithes to Melchizedek. Jesus is under that order. He's not a Levite, but he's our high priest. Look at this. For he, Jesus, is the mediator or arbiter of a better covenant, uniting God and man, which has been enacted and rests on better promises. That's your covenant. You have a better covenant established on better promises, and Jesus is the arbiter of it all. He is the mediator. He's the one that makes it all work. Because of Him, He is the one that makes it all happen. So do you believe that you have a better covenant than the Old Testament covenant? And was Jesus able to walk into that synagogue and say, what's going on here? Ought not that daughter of Abraham be healed? Did he have any problem with healing her and setting her free? Do you think he has any problem with healing you or setting you free? I think not. You have a better covenant established on better promises. All we need to do is know it and walk in the provisions that God provided for us. You know what? You know what destroys a lot of people, the Bible says? A lack of knowledge. Amen? And so when you're going through any kind of ailment or any kind of physical problem in your body, you are saying what God says about you if you say, I am healed. I am healed. Because under the covenant of God, healing belongs to you. Amen? And you can either speak the problem or the doubt and unbelief, or you can say, I'm going to say what God says about me. And by His Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I am standing on the promises of God. I'm not denying that there's things attacking my body. I'm denying its right to be there. But you got a choice. You can talk about the problem. You can get in a pity party. Or you can say, no, ought not I, a son of God Almighty, under the new covenant with Jesus as the mediator, ought not I be healed? Ought not I be rescued and delivered from the hand of the enemy? Yes, 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 right? So when Christians know their rights and privileges in Christ, it'll help them overcome sicknesses. It's important to keep ourselves under the protection of the new covenant. Walk in the light of the children of God under the new covenant. Now, I'm not talking about, because it's where you split hairs, but it's an important hair to split. I'm not talking about if you go out and make a mistake and you lose your temper, or say things you shouldn't say, or you do something you shouldn't do, that you blew the whole thing, you're not under the covenant. No, I'm talking about you got to know what to do when those things happen in your life, and you're to go to God and say, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry, I lost my temper, but that's not who you called me to be. Amen. You go with conviction, not condemnation. Two different words. Condemnation is someone that feels they're separated from God and the righteousness of God, and they can't get there. That better not be you. If it is you, you come and I'll get you out of that state. Conviction is when your own heart says, you know what? I can be better. I can do better. I know what the word says, but I'm struggling in these areas. But I know I'm a child of God. I know I have a covenant with God. Everything that I need, he has. Not only does he have it, he's already said yes to it. All his precious promises have been yes and amen. You already have it as your rights and privileges. Now you got to obtain it by your faith and your confidence in who God is and his love for you. Does that make sense? So God is 100% good. Do you believe that? Is healing 100% good? Healing comes from God. Right? So if you could say this and really mean it every day of your life, and I'm going to say it slow, but if you could say this or some kind of version of this, you'll see your life change. If you could say this, God wants you well. If people would just say this, until it finally gets down in their spirit, they will get in line with what God wants. And then that's what you say. God wants me well. God wants me well. God wants me healed. God wants me delivered. He's already done it through Jesus 2,000 years ago. I'm in a covenant. That woman walked 18 years, bent over, having a right to be healed, but she went 18 years before somebody, Jesus, came in and said, that ought not be. There's a lot of Christians that put up with far more than they were ever supposed to put up with. Right? I want to show you a very powerful scripture. Look at Acts 10:38. If we have a prayer for someone, say like they're going through something, say maybe their arm hurts. And if you have an arm, I'm not picking on it. I'm not saying. I'm just trying to help people. But I just have to do an illustration. They say some part in their body hurts. And we have an elder prayer. The elder prayer is establishing the covenant. It said anoint with oil in the prayer of faith, save sick. Why? They got a covenant. So if we come up and we just pray and we pray to God, remember how we always pray. We see you in Christ. We see what belongs to you. So we just speak the answer and speak the faith in the name of Jesus above all names. But if you go back to your safe, say if it's a man, and he goes back to his seat and he sits down and his wife says, did you get anything? He says, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I don't think I did. It still hurts. Well, I can solve that problem for you. No, you didn't get anything. But it wasn't God's fault. It wasn't for the fact that you don't have a covenant because you do. It wasn't because God doesn't love you. It's because you didn't believe for it. Look at Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That scripture says a tremendous amount. But how many people, if it's part of their daily bread reading, I think it's daily bread reading, but I am if that's your only, let me correct that. I am if that's your only reading. I'm very much against it. Because the Word of God needs to be meditated on. It needs to be pondered. It needs to be thought about. It needs to bring it into your life and spend time. Now, the daily readings are fine, and it does bring blessings, but if that's all you got, I'm against it. I'd rather you read one scripture and say, Holy Spirit, help me understand what that's saying, because I feel here that you're trying to tell me something, and meditate on it, and meditate on it, and research it. You will get the answers that you're looking for. Because James, in the book of James, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask, and God will give it to you. let's look at the meat in the scripture. How God the Father, right? Anointed Jesus the Son with the Holy Spirit and with power. There's the Trinity. Some people say, well, I don't believe in the Trinity. Well, I feel sorry for you. And they'll say, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Yeah, but it's there in concept. It's how we coined it later on. Come on. The Holy Spirit is not an it or some kind of power or some kind of whatever. The Holy Spirit is of the Trinity. God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus was anointed with God, the Holy Spirit, and power by the Father. Look what he did. He went about doing good. I'm glad that doesn't say bad. This whole message would have to be changed. He went about doing good and healing only those who he thought were worthy. No, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Healing all who were oppressed by who? The devil. How could you walk in the covenant of God if half of the Christians think that their sickness or whatever's going on in their life come from God as an objectless? Or God knew they could handle it, so he gave it all to them. The only thing he gave them was Jesus, and Jesus set you free. But if you get that kind of thinking, you'll be like the woman in the synagogue for 18 years. You'll be bowed over, bent over forever. Somewhere you got to rise up and say, I am a child of God. My God loves me. He wants me well. That's how I see myself in Christ. I am healed. I am delivered. I am set free. Even if every bone in your body hurts. You start speaking like that and you start rising up in that, you'll see the healing power of God will manifest on you. The world's taught to look at people by their looks or their talents. And a lot of people are hard on themselves. A lot of times people have treated them bad. And so they don't feel good about themselves and because they don't know the love of God. And people always bring their past up. You gotta come out of that. Amen? Every one of us are beautiful to God. Amen? Not only are we all beautiful because we come from him, but God has, you know what he does? He looks into your heart. He sees your heart. Amen? So we have a better covenant established on better promises. But we have to keep to walk in it, we have to follow the commands of God. Have a heart to follow the commands of God. Right? What's our command? Love. Let's look at this. John 13:34. Did Jesus say it's not what goes into a person that defiles the man, but what comes out? Right? He's talking spiritually. So I hope I think I did a pretty good job of setting up the premise here that I'm telling you that how we are to operate under this covenant is through operating in the love of God. That's what we're to aim for. That's what we're to strive for. But you can't love God unless you know him. And you can't know him unless you spend time in his word and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And then you grow in these things, right? Amen? I'm just trying to help you build your house going forward. I'm not trying to say people that died in the past or anything like that didn't have faith. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just trying to help you from now going forward. How do you operate in this covenant? You operate under the law of love. Amen? Faith works by love. The Bible says, how can you say that you love God but don't even love the people created in his image? And there's a lot of Christians, like I said, they could do more on their love walk. And it's because they don't know God. They don't know the heart of God. I've seen, like I said, and I've seen people that violate this more are mature Christians. They've been around a real long time. And they know what the scriptures say. And that's where we all should aspire to be. But if you don't have love, it profits you nothing. Nothing. And part of having love in you is to be able to accept correction. Uh-oh. Discipline. Structuring your life to honor your God and to be a viable, living part of what God's doing wherever He sent you to go. Right? I guess got to meddle a little bit here because I'm not done yet on that. And what's happened to me over 20 years is sometimes along the way we have ministers that come in and they got credentials, big time credentials. And they're not afraid to tell you either. And they got, I mean, they've been in this church and they've done that and they got these gifts. But you know what? I'm just looking for what kind of love you got. I know you want to come in and I know you want to minister and I know you want to do all these great things that God's blessed you with, and I'm not ridiculing that, but you got to have love for the people. You got to have love for the church. You got to have love for a church that's been around for 45 years and the people and the culture. You got to have love and not compare us to whatever you came from. It's not very nice to say, well, my old church, we did this and we did that. Because I really want to say, why'd you leave then? It's not right to compare a church or a pastor or anybody to anyone else. I'm just keeping it real with you. It's not loving. It's not kind. It's hurtful. It's devastating to the spirit of what God's trying to do. You strike the shepherd, I guarantee you the sheep will scatter. We've had so many people, and they start off for a while, but then they just no love. I'm not saying that people can't come in and contribute and be a part of what God's doing here, because we have many people that have done that. But I know love when I see it. I know love when I hear it. I know when someone's not loving, but they're too into themselves over the love of God. And I remember one day we had a service. And I just had gone through with some ministers that they started off okay, but then they just started going haywire, infecting the people in the church. And I'm not saying we do everything right either, but I'm saying there's a right and wrong way. And they hurt my heart. And so, give me a second. They hurt my heart in that they were always comparing and we weren't good enough. You know who makes us good enough? Jesus. Amen. Although, and I'll just say this because it's just a little flesh moment, but it's okay. Give me a little flesh moment, then I'll get back on track. We had way more fruit than they ever did. Okay, sorry, Lord. I couldn't help it. He gives you some once in a while. Some once in a while, He gives you one. And so there was like a little breakup there. I'm feeling like, just down about it. But you'll never, if I'm down, you'll never see it up here. You know why? I love you too much for that. And we had these three ladies that came. They were all ministers. They were trying to find a freedom something church over in McCollinsburg. And they ended up here. Got lost. That's a big miss. I told them they needed to get a GPS. But I believe God sent them in here. Because we had a wonderful service, and they all three came up for prayer. And the word was the right word that they needed to hear because they were struggling and they were suffering. And they were blessed. Three ministers that did not have any kind of preconceived notion or idea about anything. They just came to hear what the Spirit of the Lord had to say through Freedom in Christ Church. And after the service, we got in a circle. And the one lady who was the leader of them all, she said, "I want to pray for you guys." And you know what she prayed? She said, "God, this is a wonderful church. This is a loving church, and don't let anyone ever change them." Amen. God will always send the word if you're in the time of the storm, right? And so, look at the law of love in John 13, 34. A new commandment. Let me just stop there. He says, "A new commandment I give you." Are you there yet? John 13, 34. Does it say a new suggestion that you might want to think about? Does it say a new suggestion that you might want to consider and it might benefit you? Did Jesus say that? A commandment. No wonder he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" He is to give commandments. Amen. The law of love takes care of the old Ten Commandments, right? Because if I love you, I'm not going to murder you. If I love you, I'm not going to steal from you. If I love you, I'm not going to do all that other stuff mentioned there. But that love now has been embedded in our heart, and it comes because we know God first. And you don't know someone you don't spend time with, right? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Pretty simple, right? It's to be our trademark. It's to be what people see. It's to be the prevailing atmosphere. And we have that love here. There was a minister that came in one time from a religious establishment. And I preached for like an hour. And he said, "If I preach for over 15 minutes in my church, they kick me out." But he was a good man. And you know what he said? He said, "As soon as I came in, I felt it. I felt the love of God here." You know why the love of God's here? What one of the prevailing factors is? He who has been forgiven much loves much. Who amongst us has been forgiven much? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I have been forgiven much. Mucho. There's some Spanish in there, right? Mucho. Grande. And so our past doesn't define us. But you know what? I say thank God for your past because you should never forget where you came from. And now you got a testimony. And the power on your testimony is the same power that was there to deliver you, is the same power on that testimony to deliver someone else. Everybody out there has got past. But you know what else believers have? We have a future in Christ. And so I want you to look at Romans 5:5. So are we to love one another? How are we to love one another? It's with the love of God, right? We're talking about a supernatural, unconditional love of God. There was a man here one day, he was an older fella, and he was reading in Ephesians where it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And he was praying to the Father, to his Father, Heavenly Father, and he said, "How am I to love her like that?" And the Lord spoke to him. And he said, "You're not going to love her with your love. You're going to love her with my love." My love. Amen. My love forgives. My love doesn't seek its own way. My love always looks for the good and the betterment of people. My love lifts people up. That's how you're going to love her, with my love. Look at Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Two good things in there. Amen. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts. So as a believer, do you have the love of God poured out into your heart? By the Holy Spirit. Oh, he's in you. You say, well, I don't ever realize it because you don't give him the time of day. Amen. Many people, the Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. But do you have that love? I want to read to you apart from Brother Higgins. It was either a sermon or a book. I can't remember which one, but he probably in both. But Brother Higgins says this. He says, parents were trying to believe God for their child's healing. The last time I talked with them, they were having problems with relatives. One day, they called the motel where we were staying. I was getting ready to go to church, and I was shaving, actually, and I heard my wife say, well, he doesn't ever go unless the Lord tells him. And then he says, you get so many calls that you couldn't answer every request. That's all that you'd be doing. If the Lord says go, which he seldom does, I go. If he doesn't, I don't. This time the Spirit of the Lord said to me, go. So I stuck my head out of the bathroom door and said, who is it? And she told me, and I said, tell them I will be there in 10 minutes. I assumed the Lord wanted me to go pray for the little girl. But as I finished dressing, the Spirit of God spoke to my spirit saying, don't pray for the child. Don't lay hands on her. Don't anoint her with oil. Say this to the mother. I said to Israel, walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, and I'll permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I permitted upon the Egyptian. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee, and the number of thy days I will fulfill. That's what the Lord said to tell her, right? Tell the mother, I said, you keep my commandment of love. Walk in my statue of love, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. And the number of your days you'll fulfill. Say to Satan, Satan, I'm walking in love. Now take your hands off my child. I told her what the Lord said, and she took hold of it like a dog does a bone, and she ran off with it. I mean, I hadn't gotten it out of my mouth until she stomped her foot and boldly said, Satan, I'm walking in love. You'll take your hand off of my child. Do you know what happened? As fast as you could snap your finger, the child's epileptic seizure stopped, never to return again. Amen. Now, God would be an unjust God if he asked you to give you a commandment of love. This is the love of God, if you couldn't do it. But I already showed you in Romans 5:5, you can do it. It didn't say God dabbed a little bit of the love in you and gave you a partial infilling of the Holy Spirit. Did he say that? The love of God has been poured out in you by the Holy Spirit that was given to you. You got it in abundance. You can love people even when they don't love you back. I always wondered, Brian Will said this one time back when COVID was going on. And, you know, a lot of mask wearing and things like that. And he went into Walmart. And he wasn't wearing a mask. You know, some people got really, really vigilant about it. And they call you out for it. So this woman came over and she was like, get your mask on. And she was yelling at him. And Brian said, okay, I'll go back and get my mask. No problem. But she kept on him. And finally he stopped and he said, look, woman. I don't know if he said woman, but look. He said, you're not going to offend me. I'm not going to let you do it. Why? It would cost him way too much to let her offend him. So I'm going to go ahead and say, I forgive you. I'm not going to get in this battle. You don't have to attend every argument that you're invited to. And I'm going to just forgive you and go get my mask. Sometimes it takes a bigger person to walk away and stand there and fight with some random woman about a mask. And then say all kinds of things and call her every name in the book. And then go out and say, Jesus is my healer. Oh, he is your healer. But you broke your command. Now, do we have moments? Anybody have deal with road rage? I pray for your forgiveness right now and your deliverance. You're going to have moments. I'm not talking about that. You're not going to be perfect all the time. I hope it didn't burst somebody's bubble. You're a human being and you have emotions. But what I'm saying is you got to know the truth and you got to have a starting point and a grounding point that keeps you grounded. And when your flesh wants to act up and take you off of some kind of flesh trail, you got to pull back. And you got to say, I forgot who I am in Christ. Right? Look, we're about ready to close. Look at Jeremiah 3:15. This is the New Living Translation. Jeremiah 3:15. This is God speaking. If you want a really good book to read, read Jeremiah. He's called the Weeping Prophet. And you can see where he really, really displayed the heart of God. And those people were rebellious. They were wicked. They were the Israelites. They got so bad that they were worse than what the world was ever even doing. But God loved them, and he had a covenant with them, and he was pleading for them to come back. But in Jeremiah 3:15, this is what the Lord's saying in this day that we live in. He's prefacing everything to a future day. He says, and I will give you shepherds, or spiritual shepherds, after my own heart, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding. So God says, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to give you shepherds after whose heart? His heart, my heart. I'm going to give you people that will accurately show you my love for you and actively encourage you to walk in love towards one another, lest Satan take advantage of you and destroy everything in your life. Right? Look at Jeremiah 31:14. He's talking to the nation of Israel, but he's talking about the covenant, the new covenant that we're in. Because if you read this, well, you'll read it here when he says, I'll forgive their wickedness, remember their sins no more. That's our covenant, right? But look what he says here. We have the same God they had. He says, I'm God and I change not. He's just dealing with us under the new covenant, which is the better covenant, established on better promises. They look forward to Jesus coming, right? That's what the Old Testament was all about, the lambs and the goats and the types and shadows and representation of Jesus that was to come. We got that. He's already come. We're looking back to the cross. They look towards the cross. But it's the same God. Amen? Jeremiah 31:34. This is God teaching about how he wants people to be. Jeremiah 31:34. He says, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. Look at this now. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Everyone from the least to the greatest, what did God say? They'll know me. They will personally know me for themselves because I will be in them. They'll tuck my word away in their heart. I will give them my spirit. I put a new heart in them. They are born again. They'll not just know about me. They'll know me. They'll know me. Do you get this? God said they'll know me. Me. He wants you to know Him. Your God. Not just scriptures. Not just rules and regulations. And not just... He wants you to intimately, personally know Him. To me, you know what that is? Love. For how a God so big and so beautiful with all these people in the world that's ever been, He wants to know, He wants me, because He already knows me, He wants me to know Him. And when I know Him, I'll know love, because God is love. And everything I do will be because of Him. People make up these big plans that they're going to do. And a lot of times I'll say things that they want to do or whether we're going to respond to certain things. And I'll say a lot of times, did you ask God about that? Did you ask Him what He said? You should. Do you know Him? Can you just go into the presence of God and say, God, look, tell Him everything. He knows it anyway. Say, God, look, I am at my end here. And I don't think I could do this anymore. And I'm this or that. What did God tell Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. When you're the weakest, I'm at my strongest. He said, God, I'm just talking to you, God, because you're my God. And I don't want to displease you. I don't want to walk out of your will. I'm just talking to you, the one who loves me. You know how hard it was for God to send Jesus to die for us so that we could come to this place on our knees and say, God, I know you. That's all He's asked any of us to do. Amen? So, I pray that's helped you. You can rise. I'm going to ask the prayer ministers to come up. And most of you know already, but I'll say it anyway. If you can help with the chairs. I forgot the last couple of Sundays, but you do it anyway. But so. And so the prayer ministers are here. If you need prayer in any way, shape, or form, what they're primarily here to do is to, they're prayer ministers, not prayer counselors, although there is some of that in there to help you. But what they're to do is to show you where the word says that what you're asking for belongs to you, or the help that you need, where it belongs to you, and then agree with you on that. Amen? And that's where the healing power of God goes, because we're to pray for one another, aren't we? Well, thank you for coming. And so don't forget, Brother Lowe has called a meeting, so he's going to come straight up here. And if you want to help out in any way, shape, or form with that spaghetti dinner, you can meet him up here. Let's pray. Father, we come to the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for this service that we had today. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with us every step of the way. And now, Lord, I pray that you keep them from harm. I pray, Lord, that the evil one touches them not. And I pray, Lord, that the words that were spoken by the Holy Spirit would thrive in them, and that it would be watered and it would be increased. And Lord, I thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.